for this group that John is speaking to, it's a matter of this gospel, this kingdom that was coming. And we started last week, we went to Hebrews chapter 3. And I want you to go to Hebrews 3 and look again at verse 17. And we're going to read through 17 and a lot of chapter 4. So you can see these promises and these things that were of old and these and the history of what took place. And why I believe when John was going out into the wilderness, why those men and why those people came out into the wilderness to see what John had to say. One thing we touched on Sunday that I thought was interesting that I hadn't thought of much before until this past week is we talked about that generation of viper and those men that came out. You got to remember one thing, because why did they come out? And I thought the fact is they felt like just because they were related to Abraham and they could call him their father, there was nothing else they needed to do. They didn't have to meet those statutes. And that's why John says, who told you to flee from the wrath to come? So I think that was a picture to think about too. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 17, the word says, "But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not?" So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Now, how did they show their faith? By works. Things they had to do. They had unbelief. And then in chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Let us therefore fear." Now, this can't be for us because we're not given the spirit of fear, right? But this is to Israel. Hebrews is talking to Israel. He says, "Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." There's the picture of enduring to the end also, isn't it? Okay? Verse 2. "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." See, the issue, faith plus works. Okay? And this writer of Hebrews is reminding those that were believers of what took place in the past. And you can see this starting with John the Baptist teaching it, because it could have been an exodus there also, right? So you'll see as time goes, there's even more than that exodus. Okay? In verse 3, "For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not because of unbelief." Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, "Today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day?" If they would have entered into their rest in that time past, going into the rest would have never been spoken of again, would it? And so we see the writer of Hebrews is speaking of those things in times past. In verse 9 it says, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." Just as those that walked out into the wilderness, that they saw all these mighty works of God from the Exodus out, leaving Egypt. They saw these works, and what they do? Some of them start saying, "You should have just left us in Egypt." All their works showed their unbelief. And that's what the warning is here for those that are dying in their faith, for that flock to remember the promise of them going into their rest. But what do they have to do? He says, let us, in verse 11, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest. What do they have to do to enter into that rest? Doesn't sound like it's grace alone, does it? Now, God's grace has been set before them. That time's coming. He says, lest any man, what? The words fall. Now, we can fall from our faith, right? We can start trusting in the flesh again. But when we've been baptized by the Spirit, we're saved. We're sealed. These people, their fall is not falling from their faith. Their fall shows what? Unbelief. And they'll never enter into the rest, right? So here in Matthew, when we read last week in Matthew chapter 3 a few weeks ago, we see the words, what does John say? And it's going to come all the way through time to this writer in Hebrews. And John the Baptist says, repent ye therefore, for the kingdom is at hand. So what you have here from all the way back before they entered, before Joshua led them into the promised land, didn't work out. This promise that John's bringing out again, why you can see why he says, repent ye therefore, because the kingdom is at hand. And we'll see that because what the prophecies, what was prophesied beforehand. Go to Ezekiel chapter 36. We're just going to look at some scriptures tonight. May not get to them all because there's a lot. But I just think it's, as I started studying this about the wilderness, I kept seeing more and more as if anybody had education or knew their heritage, they would know what's going on. And I think that brings the picture why all these came out from Judea and all these regions to hear John the Baptist. They knew their heritage. They knew what went on. They knew God had been silent, right? And that He was showing the way again. Just as those that were in Israel years after years after years. Think about it today. We can go back thousands of years, right? Maybe not thousands. I don't really know how exact long it is. But today, you have a lot of the African-American today in this area. What do they talk about when they feel like they've been done wrong? They go all the way back to how they had been treated in their past in this nation. And even though they have rights that they did not have back then, once their rights are just something don't go right, you have a lot that are just as racist as a white person can be or any other culture. The issue is, what always happens? They always go back to when it first started. Right? And they believe, hey, we have rights because of what happened to our ancestry. Isn't it amazing how we have a habit to be able to blame things to get what we want to get? Right? Don't you think these people knew when John the Baptist was walking out and he was talking about making those paths straight that were crooked? Don't you think they knew where Israel became crooked all the way through, how they started being unequally yoked with heathen, with Gentiles? They started worshiping other gods. I mean, all through the Old Testament, it's on again, off again. On again, off again, right? So John the Baptist is going to bring all this out, how those didn't enter into their rest. The writer of Hebrews reminded them that, I mean. And John the Baptist is opening this exit skin. There's another chance. I think that's just really interesting. And in Ezekiel chapter 36, go to verse, we'll just start in verse 22. And I'm just going to read, and I hope you catch some things that I think are interesting. In verse 22, in chapter 36, it says, therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whither ye won't. Well, before we go any further, do you notice who he's talking to? Israel. It's pretty clear. But I've read all my life, and I've heard preachers all my life go to this Old Testament to give you a bunch of stuff to do. I mean, we grew up with that, you know. Anyway, verse 23. He says, and I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God. When I shall be sanctified in you, before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. This is pretty clear what John the Baptist is wanting to do out in the wilderness, isn't he? This door, this time that God's dealing with man, with Israel, I mean, is coming again. And we read this, what the prophecy says. Verse 26, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes. And ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. What's the issue about? The land he gave to their fathers. And that they're going to walk in their statutes because they're going to be hidden in their hearts. By the way, John the Baptist was going to start this again, but it's still not happening. It's going to take place in the times of refreshing, right? Those are things that are going to happen. Now look at verse 29. I will save you from all your uncleannesses, and I will call for the corn, and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field, that ye shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Then shall ye remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Not for your sakes do I this, saith the Lord God. Be it known unto you. Be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the wastes shall be builded, and the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by. And they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden. And the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock, as the holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feast. So shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Lord. You see this picture of what was promised and things that are going to happen. And what's Israel going to be? They're going to be a light unto the world, right? They're going to be the salt of the earth. And these are things that John the Baptist has come out to announce in the wilderness. We see this in Matthew with John, that things are going to come and that they're going to blossom and they're going to have a chance to fulfill, what's that? To enter into the rest, right? And so now with faith, they would see this clearly. If all of Israel would have believed when John the Baptist went out into the wilderness, what would have happened? That's right. The kingdom would have been set up. But what happened? They didn't have faith. It was unbelief again. Because they had to follow the statutes that were set upon them. And that's why John says, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. Make those crooked paths straight. Because we just read in prophecy all that took place. And also, what John the Baptist will bring out is, we start going through Matthew, you're going to see what the Jews required. Signs, wonders, miracles. And if we have time, we're going to get to that, even in the Old Testament, of those things. A couple of things that are worth turning to, go to Daniel chapter 2. I'm not going to try to hurry, but we'll get as far as we can. I just think some of these verses are very important. Daniel chapter 2, go to verse 44. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, this couple of interesting verses. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Now, I'm not going to go into depth here, but we see the what was ruling and reigning, and what's going to be brought to desolation, and God's kingdom be set up. In fact, go to chapter 7 in the same book, the book of Daniel, and go to verse 26. In chapter 7, verse 26, where it says, "But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom of dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart." So here we see John in Matthew chapter 3 trying to make these pass straight that had been spoken of. This kingdom was a big deal. It wasn't like for the kingdoms of hand like they're going to be the United Nations or the United States and Europe and Asia. This was a kingdom to rule it all. It was to do away with all the other kingdoms, to do away with all the things. So sometimes we got this, maybe it's just me, I'm bad about this. Sometimes you got this idea that it's just going to be like this kingdom that's set up and everything over there is really good. Now this kingdom is going to rule and reign over everything, right? So it's an issue. John the Baptist went out in the wilderness to share this, to get this started. He was made, he was brought before that which is to come, right? Whose shoe he wasn't worthy to his sandal he wasn't worthy to strap, right? So John the Baptist knew. There are particular things happening while we're in Matthew chapter 3. Sometimes I get a habit of making it like it's right now and today, but I want you to be where these people are in Matthew chapter 3. In fact, go to Matthew 3 just real quick so we can be reminded. And we're just going to read just for a minute here in Matthew 3, in verse 1. "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not what to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." Isn't this kind of interesting? We talked about this a minute ago in Ezekiel, I believe, about the things that were ruined. The things that we're doing, God's going to change them. There's going to be fences. There's going to, it's going to be inhabited. He says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. We talked about the water, remember? But when this kingdom comes, okay, it's a picture of baptism. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. And he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So can you see the picture of John going out into this wilderness? And those people knew, just like we know to go back, the others go back to their heritage and things that went on. People knew because they were coming out and they were being baptized. And there was a period now where a new exodus for Israel, because they had been scattered, right? God had been silent. And then he was born a king. And then as years go by, John the Baptist is brought out. And so this is a huge thing. This is not something that's like just this new nation coming up. This is a big deal. And I think sometimes we make it very little if we're not careful. I want to show you a couple of things that are particular, things that are happening at this period where John is speaking and what these people knew. Okay? Go to John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, go to verse 22. John chapter 3, verse 22, where it says, after these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Enon near to Salim, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. For John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. You see this picture, you can even see, just like in Acts, we always try to find when this thing started between these dispensations. This is the same picture. John the Baptist never quit doing what he was doing until he was put in prison. But of course, John, as you study these scriptures through Matthew, you'll see John will decrease. Things will back up. And then Christ will be there. That's why John is in Matthew 3 saying, repent. That's why he's out in the wilderness, because it means something. That's why he's baptizing, because it means something. It's because of what the prophet said. Even things that John heard of, his joy was being fulfilled. Why do you think? Because he was told these things are going to happen, and they're happening. And it's a big, big deal. Go to Isaiah chapter 40. I never thought much about it until just now, but even, you know, when he talks about what he wore and what he ate, and the honey, what was the land supposed to be flowing with? Milk and honey. I mean, there's some significance to some of these things as we study it. In John chapter 40, I tell you what, we're just going to start with Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1 through 11. Verse 1 says, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, and her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. It's interesting, isn't it? You don't think John the Baptist knew these scriptures? Verse 4. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, Cry, and he said, What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, Behold your God. Isn't this the picture of Christ being born? The King? He's born a king, and John the Baptist speaking the truth, and these things coming to life. Verse 10, Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and His arm shall rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him, and His work before Him. He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arm, and carry them in His bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Do you think this speaks to Him being our shepherd? All you heard is Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Just like the 23rd Psalms I mentioned Sunday, that is to Israel. That's why you see that He came to save and seek those that were lost. The lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's why I always heard the shepherd. I never understood the verse very much, but I tried to act like I did, and I'd make... But it's so clear when He speaks to me in the shepherd. These are things that were coming to reality for Israel. There was a new Exodus. Go to Hosea chapter 2. It's the pages that stick together, probably. Some of these books I haven't been in a while, especially since I've had this Bible. It's all still, they're new. They shouldn't be. Hosea chapter 2. Look at... Well, let's look at verse 1. We're going to start verse 1. Hosea 2, 1 says, Say ye unto your brethren, Ammi, and to your sisters, Ruhamah, plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight, and her adulteries from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked and set her as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness. Who do you think he's talking to here? Israel's the whore. They've left their first love. And the issue is, just as it happened, that those didn't go into out of the wilderness into the rest. It's a picture here, right? And if you look and you go to that same verse, Lest I strip her naked and set her as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst. And I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredoms. For their mother hath played the harlot. She that conceived them hath done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers, and give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink. They'd forgotten about their God. That's why God was silent. Verse 6, Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns, and make a wall that she shall not find her paths. We talked about make the path straight. Verse 7, And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them, and she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, I cannot do the shall she at all. I'm just going to tell you now, it's awful. I'm not right, no, I'm kidding. Then shall she say, Gosh, I will go and return to my first husband, for then was it better with me than now. For she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil, and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. Therefore will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof, and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool and my flax given to cover her nakedness. And now will I discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and none shall deliver her out of mine hand. I will also cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, her Sabbaths, and all her solemn feasts. And I will destroy her vines and her fig trees, whereof she hath said, these are my rewards that my lovers have given me, and I will make them a forest, and the beasts of the field shall eat them. And I will visit upon her the days of Balaam, wherein she burned incense to them, and she decked herself with her earrings and her jewels, and she went out after her lovers and forgat me, saith the Lord. While we're reading this, there was one thing we touched on when we first started in Matthew, and it was about this generation of vipers, and these in the past that went after Balaam, that worshipped other gods. You remember that? This is this picture, that they had other gods. Verse 14, therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably to her, unto her. And I will give her vineyards from thence and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. You see the significance of this wilderness and all it's spoken of? It says in verse 16, and it shall be at that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishi, and I shall call me no more Baalah. For I will take away the names of Baalim out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name. And in that day will I make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, and with the fowls of heaven, and with the creeping things of the ground, and I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth, and will make them to lie down safely. And I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercies. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. And it shall come to pass in that day I will hear, saith the Lord, I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth. And the earth shall hear the corn and the wine and the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel. And I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say to them which were not my people, thou art my people, and they shall say, thou art my God. Yeah, I know I read that quick, and I know we didn't, but there's so much stuff that John the Baptist, that we'll see in Matthew, this Exodus, these things that these people knew, that they heard, that were prophesied, that they were waiting on, and then God became silent. And you don't think it was a big deal when John the Baptist went out into the wilderness and said, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. These people had waited for to them forever. They had lost them. From family, from generation to generation to generation, God blessing, God cursing, God blessing, God cursing, God judging, God. I mean, just constantly. Now, John the Baptist, Israel wasn't even a nation, were they? And they were a nobody. And all of a sudden, they were about to become a somebody, and they remembered their race, or their heritage, or how their forefathers were treated, or what their forefathers went through. I mean, there's a big uprising that's about to happen. Now, can you see why this generation of vipers showed up too? They were supposed to be the important people. They thought just because they were related to Abraham, John says, hey, we can raise up these stones to be related to Abraham. You know, that's nothing. They needed to be faithful so they could have this promise that was given. Sorry, 34 minutes. There's two things I wanted to get to. Ezekiel chapter 20. Ezekiel chapter 20. I know we're reading a lot, but I think this is the way that we learn and see the significance of how all Scripture is profitable. There may have been a couple of other things that we read in Hosea there that you could see was Israel too, and no way could be us. And how much fit with what we read in Hebrews about the things to come, about them being faithful, that Hosea spoke of too. I mean, all these things were promises that they would have an exodus, and then they'd fall. John the Baptist, there's an exodus, and then there's going to be a fall. Right? And there's all these things that God remembers His people. In Ezekiel chapter 20, I tell you what, just to save time, start in verse 28. Ezekiel 20, verse 28. For when I had brought them into the land, for the which I lifted up mine hand to give it to them, then they saw every high hill and all the thick trees, and they offered there their sacrifices, and there they presented their provocation of their offering. There also they made their sweet savor, and poured out there their drink offerings. Then I said unto them, what is the high place whereunto ye go? And the name thereof is called Bama unto this day. Wherefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, are ye polluted after the manner of your fathers? And commit ye whoredom after their abominations? For when ye offer your gifts, when ye make your sons to pass through the fire, ye pollute yourselves with all your idols. Even unto this day, and shall I be inquired of you, by you, O house of Israel, as I live, saith the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. And that which cometh into your mind shall not be at all, that ye say, we will be as the heathen, as the families of the countries, to serve wood and stone. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand, and with a stretched out arm, and with fury poured out, will I rule over you. And I will bring you out from the people, and will gather you out of the countries wherein ye are scattered, with a mighty hand, and with a stretched out arm, and with the fury poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people. What's that again? The wilderness of the people. Where John the Baptist is going to try to make this happen, and what happens? It doesn't work. Again, unbelief. And there will I plead with you face to face, like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so will I plead with you, saith the Lord God. And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. And I will purge out from among you the rebels, and them that transgress against me. I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And you can go on and on and on and see all these prophecies that are spoken of. This is such a picture in Matthew chapter 3 of John the Baptist reminding them what's going on. And all these, the heathen, not the heathen, but the Sadducees, the Pharisees, all these are on the scene. I bet if you look at them, you could see, if we could see the movie of this taking place in John the Baptist, and you could see the movie of what took place when they walked out of Egypt, and God showing all these miracles and all these signs to prove who He was and all these promises they made. Same thing He did as He walked the earth. Remember? He showed the signs, the wonders, and the miracles, and they still blow it. That's amazing to me. How selfish people are. In the same manner, how do we pertain this to today? You know what? People are going to do church. They're going to do their Bible studies. They're going to do their programs any way they want to, even though they name the same Jesus that we name. Right? And because of their selfishness to be popular, to be cool, to have the most, they're going to deceive people also by using the Word itself. Having the Word and deceiving today, guess what? They'll work and work and work, and they'll open hell wide open when they die. because God took care of it all through His grace. And even now, with so many people involved in church, you'll go share it with them and they'll think you're crazy. That's how deceived they are. Isn't it amazing? All these promises that God made, all the proofs, all the perfectness that we see in His Word, and nobody wants to listen because they're selfish. And that's what we face today. In this same dispensation, and how crazy and selfish we are, you can see the same selfishness. Just as though we knew we were sinners, all the world knew they were sinners by us seeing how ignorant Israel was. Yet we still remain ignorant. That's amazing to me, to have all the Word. And we got these people that remain ignorant. So there's one way that we are like Israel, and that's selfish and ignorant as a whole. Wouldn't you agree? Aren't you glad that all don't have to be saved now? Because that'd be awful. Because all of Israel had to be saved. You, it's individual. Your family, it's individual. We need to show people these truths. How man all the way down has failed because of what? Pride and selfishness. God, you know what? You know the scriptures that we read as He brought them out in the wilderness, nothing else there? The one thing He wanted them to know is that He was their God. That He would show them that He is their Lord. And one day He's going to.